don't say that word often, but I'm just being straightforward. People do these things to us, and it hurts. And it just it makes things really hard. And that's why so many people struggle with asking for forgiveness. And folks, friends stab us in the back, family members lie, and lovers cheat. It is the world that we live in, and the sin has been present in us all since the beginning with Adam and Eve. And when people do these almost unbelievable things to us, it is easy to label them as people who will never be forgiven. And they deserve to be unhappy forever. And in the moment of anger and brokenness is how we label them. Right? They deserve it. But in reality, though, God wants us to forgive, and he wants us to see the best in others. Now, that's easy to say, but when it comes right down to it, when it boils right down to it, are you able to do that? And oftentimes it's, you know, they ought to be able to forgive them. What about you? Right? It's easy to say, point the finger at somebody else, say, you should be able to forgive them. What about when it comes? Well, now that's a different story. Right? God wants us to forgive. God knows what's best for us. You see, if we want a more perfect world to live in, and I'm talking about, you know how I always talk about your mission field, your family, your church, your work, your neighborhood. You want a more peaceful world to live in, folks, we need to stop holding on to what was and put action forward for a better tomorrow and forgive. Amen? I'm going to read some verses here for us, and it's going to help us, and we'll walk through Matthew here, and it's going to remind us about forgiveness, and we are all sinners, no matter who we are, and because of that, we should forgive others who have sinned. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 through 15, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, listen to that. It says, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Now, how many want God to forgive you? Then we have to do our part also and forgive others. Amen? Praise the Lord. Folks, it is a priority to forgive others according to God. Now, listening to God's demands and applying them to our lives will give us peace. Amen? Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. We need to always, always be ready to forgive again and again. Now, that's like swallowing poison because we don't like it. Not that we shouldn't do it, but we don't like to do it. Forgive them once, that's it, man, that's the limit. But God said again and again. So don't let every time someone does you wrong grow bitterness in your heart. That's why it's so important to forgive. Because the more you hold on to it, the harder it is to forgive. So in reality, the older we get, the more people we disappoint, the more people that disappoint us. And allow every time that you are hurt to make your willingness to forgive stronger. Amen. Matthew 18, verse 21 and 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Or 77 times, amen. Apologizing is hard. Amen? Most of us hate to have to do it. Come on. It is hard to admit when we were wrong, and even harder to ask someone to forgive us, especially if the other person was partly to blame, especially. You see, but apologizing is part of seeking humility, and humility is character quality God holds in high esteem. James chapter 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves. It's hard to do, isn't it? Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Now, that just goes totally against the grain that we like to live by. But apologizing, folks, humbles us by reminding us that we are not perfect and that we need forgiveness from God and from other people. Now, our ideas about apologizing are not sufficient. Even adults can act like children whose mother just told them to shake hands and say you're sorry. Huh? Usually we don't get any better than that. Shake him hand or hug them and tell them you're sorry. My boys used to get in trouble, and I'd make them sit on the couch and hug each other for a while. They didn't like that at all. They're like this. And that's how we act sometimes. Right? Come on. You're all laughing because you know how you are. So we can act like children. But many times, folks, simply saying I'm sorry is not a full apology, because it does not take into account the level of wrong that was done. I'm sorry. No, you're not. Right? You put more into it than that. I'm sorry. There are times when we accidentally bump into someone or say something we should not. And those little errors, done without evil intent, are easy to apologize for with an I'm sorry. But when we have truly wronged someone, folks, that person needs us to validate the pain that we caused. Right? A real apology sounds something more like I was wrong to whatever. Come on. I know I hurt you, and I'm sorry that I did. Would you please forgive me? How can I make things right? And you're hearing me, you're saying, but what would you want if it was coming the other way? Would you want, I'm sorry? Come on. You see, King Saul gave us an example of an insufficient apology. He disobeyed a direct command from the Lord. And Samuel confronted him about it. And Saul at first denied any wrongdoing. But when pressed by it, he admitted that he had sinned against his God. And still he blamed his wrongdoing on a desire to please the people. You can read about that in 1 Samuel 15. You see, he was sorry that he got caught, but humbled enough to truly admit his wrong. And God was not impressed with Saul's apology and removed the kingdom from him. See, when we know we have wronged God or we've wronged somebody else, God expects us, folks, to make it right. Amen? When we know we have wronged God, we need to apologize to him. When we know we've wronged somebody else, we need to apologize, sincerely apologize. We make things right with God by repenting of that sin, confessing it to him, and receiving his forgiveness. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful to us if we just do what is right. Amen? We make things right with others by apologizing. We make them right by admitting our wrong. We need to ask for forgiveness and offer an offering to make it restitution. We see this example in Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." You see, when we have wronged somebody else, we should do whatever it takes to make things right. We really need to understand how important it is to do it the proper way. Not just what this flesh wants. We got to put this flesh in subjection to doing what is right. Amen? And so you take care of it. You make sure that they are satisfied and that they truly understand we are sorry for what we did. Amen? Being reconciled to an offender or offended brother or to an offended sister should be top priority. Top priority. Matthew 5, verse 23 and 24. "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Now, folks, understand this verse here. God's saying, look, I don't want your gift until you do what's right. Sometimes, here we're like, so what, God? You just take it. I don't want to apologize. I don't want to make things right. And we justify our own wrongdoings. And we force these things on God. And God says, you need to leave it and go take care of it. When someone confronts us about sin, we must be humble enough to admit the truth, to apologize, and to ask for forgiveness. If someone comes to us to apologize for something he or she did to us, then we must be gracious enough to extend forgiveness. So not only is it hard going to and asking for, it's hard also giving it to somebody, giving forgiveness to somebody. But always remember this. What would you want be done to you? Come on. Don't justify your wrong. Don't sit there and say, I have a right to be angry. No, you don't. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have sinned, if any man have a quarrel against thee, against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." And Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." That is a good thing to try to be, a peacemaker. Amen? I married a peacemaker. And she always kept peace between me and her. Because I was stubborn and pig-headed. And she would come and apologize for making me upset. Not for what I was mad at her about. But it would break the ice, and we could talk. And it's helped me to get to a place where I'm not so stubborn anymore. I don't know if my mother-in-law thinks that, but I'm just kidding. But you know what? It's helped me over the years to have somebody like that. And you guys ought to thank her for it. It made me a better pastor. Amen. But I'll tell you what, folks, it is a good thing to be that way. And people love those kind of people anyways, don't they? They just love being around those kind of people who are always just trying to make peace. Now, when you're mad, you don't want to be around them. Just leave me alone. Let me stew in this for a while. Right? Amen. But peacemakers are important. Being a peacemaker is readily admitting when we are wrong. I don't know if I want to be a peacemaker then. Huh? Peacemakers forgive when they need to forgive, and they apologize when they offend somebody. We need to do that. We all need to ask God, help me to be a peacemaker. Amen? It's important. Amen. And I believe it's important for the growth of the kingdom of God is to for us all to learn to be peacemakers. Come on. And so, therefore, we don't want to just sit here and everybody sits on this side and are mad at everybody on this side. Well, God really feels like moving in a church like that, doesn't he? Huh? So we got to learn to be peacemakers, folks, and understand the importance of it. And listen, who wouldn't want us to be a peacemaker? The enemy. And he's got a reason for it. He doesn't want us to see God bless and move in everybody's life. He doesn't want us to grow. Amen. He doesn't want us to win anybody else to the Lord. And so if you're not a peacemaker, you're not going to do those things. And so it's important for us to understand how important, how we must be a peacemaker. And if we've done wrong, admit our wrong, take care of the situation. And help others to also do the same thing. Ephesians 4, verse 32, and be ye kind. There's a great idea. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? Why? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Amen? Now, as difficult as apologizing sometimes is, it helps us to grow to be more like Jesus. Come on. It helps us to grow to be more like him by humbling us and teaching us about grace. Now, you know, sometimes we just want to be this tough person. You know, nobody tells me, nobody does this to me, nobody does that to me. Who do you think you are? Come on. We're all human. We all make mistakes. Whether you want to admit it or not. Amen? Let's just be truthful here today. All right? Let's not just think anything better of ourselves. We all make mistakes. And we do things. Sometimes if we have a bad attitude and somebody comes to speak to us, we might snap at them. We just need to understand, folks, that let's give that leeway to people. And when you look at somebody sometimes and you see they're normally not like that, then you can give them a little leeway. Maybe you go off and just pray for them and go back and just talk to them. Amen. And just, you know, say, can I help you with anything? Can I pray with you about something? Amen. So give people that latitude and that leeway. Amen. To be able to make a mistake sometimes. And we can get through it. We can get through this. But understand that that's what God expects from us. That's what God wants us to do. And so as difficult it is to apologize and as difficult it is to extend forgiveness, we need to understand we all need, amen, to be what God wants us to be, and that is a peacemaker. So learn to apologize, learn to give forgiveness. And in fact, you will repeat this lesson until you pass it. So do your homework. Amen? Folks, we got to learn to be what God wants us to be. So don't think that, you know, I'm not going to get through this. We're going to do it over and over and over until we pass it, until God can say, now that's what I want from you. Amen? God wants it. Now, I'll tell you what, God will keep allowing you to find yourself in situations like this until you learn to do what he wants you to do. Amen? So we just need to say, all right, I just got to get through this. When you're dealing with forgiveness, there are two types that we need to consider. There's a vertical and horizontal forgiveness. So let's first look at the vertical forgiveness that you can read about in Psalms 103. Here, we'll read here in a minute. But vertical forgiveness is God's forgiveness to us. All right? God's forgiveness to us. Psalms 103, verse 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. That sounds like something I'd like to be a part of. That sounds like something I want in my life. Amen. Psalms 103, verse 10 and 12. He hath not dwelt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. I need that in my life. How about you today? Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As far as the east is from the west, that's what God has done for us. So it is after we accept, folks, and appropriate God's complete forgiveness on our behalf that we can learn to express forgiveness to one to another. Horizontal. Okay? It is this forgiveness that makes it possible for us to forgive others. See, that's why it's so important to understand how much God really loves you, how much God cares for us. Because then in turn, we want to, as the world says today, pay it forward. Amen? People like to do that. You know, when you go through a line and, you know, they want to, I haven't had it done to me yet, but sister, you want to follow me in through? I'm just kidding. But we want to pay things forward, and God has done that in our life. Let's extend that to others. That's an awesome God. When wrong has been done by one person against another, there are only two possibilities. We are responsible for the offenses, or we are the recipients of an offense. So in either case, the first move, here it is always ours. Always ours. When we are the offender, Matthew 5, 23 and 24, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and here it is, go thy way. First be reconciled by thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Okay? It's our move. Amen. We have to do what we know to do. In verse 24, it says, we are instructed to do four very specific things. Number one, we have to stop. God's like, I don't want that. So stop what you're doing. Leave there your gift. And then we have to go. Go thy way. Okay? Then what do we do next? We have to reconcile. First, be reconciled to thy brother. And then he says, then you can return. Okay? Return. Then come and offer me thy gift. So the key word here, folks, is reconcile. Make things right. Understand that's what God wants. That's what we do with our children and things of that nature. We expect them to treat each other good. Amen? So we have to go reconcile. So that is what we're talking about. The Greek word means to alter or to change. So whatever situation you found yourself in, make it different. Amen? Go take care of it. If you're mad at each other, weren't talking to each other, then it needs to change. So it is preceded by a prefix that means to go through. So we are commanded to go through a process that will result in change. All right? It's like change enmity to friendship or hatred to love. It has to change. And once we have gone and confess the wrong and our grief over the offense and have sought for forgiveness, once we've done all those things, then we are free to return to God in worship and in prayer. It's important, folks, if we want God to hear our prayers, that we do this. Okay? So we have to understand there's a process that we need to take care of before we can go to God and say, God, I want to praise you. And why do we praise God? Because we love him and we want a relationship with him and we want him to bless us. So we have to do what he wants. All right? He says, stop. Don't worship me. Go take care of your situation. Go talk to them. Make it right. Then I'll hear you. Then I'll bless you, and I'll hear you. You hear your worship. So what if he or she, whoever it is you're going to, won't forgive you? What if they won't forgive you? Well, we can only be responsible for ourselves in forgiveness. All right? So if we go with the right attitude, if we go with the right motive, if we go with the right spirit, seeking to make things right, God knows us. God knows what we're doing. Now, you can say, I went with the right spirit. God's like, your spirit stunk. Your attitude was terrible. It was off the charts. Right? But if we do these things, if we go with these right attitudes and right spirit, right motive, and to seek to make things right, then God will honor the effort. Come on. Now, it takes some time for God to bring about change. We need to have patience with them like we want God to have patience with us. All right? Well, Pastor, I went and talked to them, and they just wouldn't do it. Well, then if you really were sorry and you wanted forgiveness, then give them some time. Right? Well, I tried, and I'm done. It's over. God sees that I tried. Yeah, and God sees your spirit. God sees your attitude. Come on. If you're truly sorry, you'll give them the time they need to take care of it. Right? If you're truly, truly sorry, you will give them what they need. You give them their space. Right? So it takes some time for God to bring about the change in our life. Right? Give God some time to take care of them. Let him work on their heart. Let him massage them a little bit. We need to have the patience with them, like God wants us to have patience, or like we want God to have patience with us. Remember this, Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. So God's, I understand it. Look, somebody's offended. It takes a little while. You know, you just can't break into those strong cities. You might get in there, but you got to do some work. So if you're truly sorry, take whatever time you need to take to help them to see you're truly sorry. So, what if the situation gets worse? Well, when we make things right, we take away the blame from the offense. And once the blame is gone, some people feel guilt for their bad feelings. And this guilt, folks, sometimes intensifies and makes the situation worse. And even though we are no longer at fault, it still gets worse. King Saul and David's situation got worse, didn't it? As long as we keep our attitude and our motive and spirit right, God will work to bring about the change in the heart of the offended one. David, you know, extended mercy to Saul, and he just kept coming after him. And it just made it harder for David to do that, but he did it. Because he wanted to keep a right spirit. He was seeking after the will of God in his life. And David did what he needed to do. He kept that right spirit. Saul even told him, you're a better man than me. Come on. So we need to just keep extending that. Because we want the will of God. We need. I want it to be said like David. I was a man after God's own heart, seeking after God's will in my life. Amen. So keep our attitude, keep our motive, keep our spirit right, and God will begin to work things out and change in the heart of the offended one. Keep praying for them. Don't go off telling everybody else, I went up and asked them to forgive me, and they still got an attitude. All right? So what if I decide to deal with the offense with God only? So what do they say? What am I saying here? Well, some people just, well, I just want to ask God to forgive me for it. I don't want to talk to them. I just want to just let it be gone. So I just want to deal with God. So what if? Well, you can't. Okay? How about that? You can't. Because God is not going to hear it. He wants you to stop and go and take care of it, then come back. So God's like, you're not just going to ask me. You're going to go talk to them. You're going to do what you need to do. Jesus said, stop, go, reconcile, then return. Not to go is in direct disobedience to his command. So remember, folks, if you want God's extended forgiveness to you and mercy to you, you have to do what God tells you to do. And he says, if you love me, in the scripture, keep my suggestions. No, that's not what it means. No. Keep my commands. Keep my commandments. So not to go is direct disobedience to God's command. We have to go. Amen. He did not say simply pray and I'll forgive you. He said stop praying, go make things right. This is one of the hardest parts, folks, of forgiveness. The forgiveness test is to pass it is to do what God tells you to do. Stop and go and then return. So what if it is impossible to reconcile because the person is dead? Well, in such a unique case, you share your burden of guilt with someone that you can trust. Prayer, accountability partner, pastor, somebody that you can truly trust. And in such case, and only in such case, prayer with an understanding, affirming individual will provide the relief so desperately needed. It's kind of like David's confession in the presence of Nathan, the prophet, of his guilt in the death of Uriah. He couldn't go to Uriah, so he went and talked to the prophet and admitted his wrong. When we have been the cause of an offense, that is, when we are the offender in a situation, we must have the heart of a servant to stop, go, reconcile, and then return. Amen? So, we're going to talk more about this next week, but understand, folks, how important it is to be a servant, a forgiving servant. Extend that to each other and watch how great things could happen in your life and in the life of the Church of Pentecost. It's so important that we need to understand we have to stop what we're doing. We have to go make things right, reconcile with that person, and then we can serve the Lord. How many want to be pleasing to God this morning? Half of you? There you go. There we go. Come on. Bring them up here. But this is important. This is scripture. Forgive, being able to forgive each other. And what a life to be able to have that in it. Have you ever seen people that have been so bitter and they're hard to even be around? And you try to talk to them, and if you mention the wrong person, whoo, heaven help us, right? Don't bring that name up in this house. That's an ugly spirit. Come on. That's worse than the Scrooge, right? But having that, being able to forgive and having it, keeping a peace in your life is something the world really don't understand in so many ways. But when we know Jesus Christ and we know what he's done for us, and we know and we believe it. That's another thing, is you have to believe that God wants to forgive you, and he will forgive you if you do what he asks you to do. It's so important, amen. And being what God wants us to be is so, so important, amen. And I encourage you, amen, if you have an issue with somebody like this, pray about it and ask God, say, Lord, help me to go to that person. Help me, God, to make things right with them so that I can be what you want me to be. Praise the Lord. Folks, there are many promises in the Word of God toward us. And they're all predicated on if you do. What if you do this? If you do that? I don't know about you, but I want the blessings of the Lord in my life. I want his promises in my life. Amen. And so therefore, I don't want to be any way hindering what God wants to do. And believe this, God wants to bless you. If you don't get anything out of it, understand this. God wants to bless you and bless your life. And it is when you live for God and you're able to forgive and have that peace in your heart, there's no life like it. Amen? Allow God to touch you. Allow God to bless you. Do what God wants you to do. Stop. Amen. Go to that person. Take care of things and come and worship God with all your heart. Amen? So let's stand here right now. We're going to give you a time, a little break here. We'll come back at 11 o'clock. We'll have some great worship. Amen, and see what God does here. Come back, folks, courage, ready to worship, and let God bless you.